next morning on Revelations 1. Revelations 1, and then turn to Ecclesiastes 3. Revelations 1, Ecclesiastes 3. Remember? Okay. It's on. The Lord willing, Brother Harris will be preaching for us Wednesday, so remember that. And also now we're going to have a baptismal service immediately after the service this afternoon. So if everybody will run down to Terrence's, we're going to have a baptismal service. Little Josiah wants to be baptized. So I told him, sure, we would be glad to do it. We talked with him and everything, and he set in his mind what he wants to do. So then that would be good. So, you know, they'll do it. All right. And two, we have found out, now we hadn't been able to ship the tent yet, but we have found out that we can purchase one, and we've got it way on down from what we originally started from the 12,000s and on down, and we've got it down now to a direct dealing through help from Brother Hembry and different phone calls that we were allowed to make, and talked right on in with a man, and we've got one for $4,600. So that'll be good, you know, that we can get the tent for that price. Now that's not the cost of mailing it, you know, or getting it to them. That's just the cost of the tent and everything. So we'll be doing that, you know. But just remember that, and just pray that the Lord will help us, because what we're trying to do is get it through, you know, without having a such a cost for shipping, but yet not sending it over a 3 month period that they have to take from to get it there. Because that, you don't want to do that either. So just remember that. Good to see Brother George Canada there with us, and I'll just pray one for another. Revelations 1 and Ecclesiastes 3. Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you that, Lord, you have given us this opportunity this afternoon to be able to, Lord, just take a few moments of time of life and just sit down and listen to you talk to us about your word. We ask you to guide each one, Lord, and bless. Be with those that are not here. Some are sick, traveling, different things. So just bless them. Some of the youth, Lord, being gone, just pray that the Lord would bless each one and take care of them, give everybody a safe journey home. Father, forgive us when we fail you, because we know we do. But just come now this afternoon and speak to us from thy word. We commit it all now into thy hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1, we're going from verse 1 to 3. We went verse 1 and 2 this morning, but we want to go over to the third verse, so let's read 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, if you like, turn to Ecclesiastes. If you like me, back up behind Isaiah. You got a Scofield Bible. It'll be on page 698. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck that up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. See, we always say that there's a time for all things. It doesn't say that. There says there's a time to all things. A lot of difference being a time for all things and a time to all things. There's not a time for war and a time for peace, you know, or something like that. A time to gather stone and a time to cast. There's not a time for that, because you'd be running wrong, but it's a time to that. Because it's going to happen, and that's, we'll get to that in a moment when we try to bring down the point. Now, what I wanted us to do, and I tried to cover this morning, so I won't back up much, but this will be a study on the book of Revelations, and we'll just start taking a few. This will be number two, and we're going to have the title of this one. You'll have it at number two, but I'll give you a subtitle then for each service following as long as we go. All right. This will be a time to understand. Time to understand. All right. Now, as I told you this morning, I believe the book of Revelations shows you, is written about, and the main purpose of the book of Revelations is to show the second fold of a threefold revelation, which is the bride of Christ. To show us who we are, what we are, what we're doing, show us the very hour that we're living, showing the time we're here, is in the book of Revelation. It's not something that we were told that we couldn't understand. We just had to wait for a time to understand. And the time to understand was when God sent us a prophet. To be able to where we could comprehend what they were. And then after it was done, it was made so simple until I actually laugh at some of our calamities, as you call it. Some of the things we used to think the Bible said. And then when we find out that it doesn't say that, and I don't mean just sayings that people were making, people say every tub will sit on its own bottom, something like that, as being in the Bible. No, it's not that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact of how we swore by the Bible that we believed in three gods. We could prove it. We could show it right in the letter, that we believed in three gods. And we believed hell was eternal and all kind of things. And then look at it now, the simplicity of the fact that God could speak to a little man and he could say, now, if you have an eternal hell, you're going to have eternal life to live there. Now, isn't that simple? See? It's just so simple. Why didn't we think of it? It's because of what I've always tried to get you to see. It's got to be revealed. And for it to be revealed, you've got to have somebody speak it to you. In some form or other, you read it, that's still somebody speaking to you. You read the Bible, that's still somebody. That's Paul speaking to you if you read the Bible. So we had to have somebody to speak it to us. But the simplicity of the fact of a prophet could just make a simple illustration. He said, now, you say you believe in God in three persons? He said, how can you be a person without a personality and a personality without being an individual and an individual's personality? He says, that's not even good sense. Well, why didn't we think of that? Because it wasn't time. This is the time. Now, that's the point. If you don't get nothing out of the message this afternoon, this end time is the time to understand. All right? Now, I'll even say it this way. 2007 is a time to understand that we might not have understood in 1990 or 80 or 70 or 60 or... Now's the time to understand. Now's the time for God to bring out what we need to understand in the day that we need it, because it's necessary to have the Word revealed to us now. All right. See, then it's present tense. And that's why I like that when he appeared to Moses and he said, well, I'm not going unless you give me some revelation of you that's different from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was great. He said, I'm not going. He said, okay, I am that I am. That meant ever present for eternity. And that would be what would be the point of revealing it. What he's given to him. He said, okay, I'm ready to go. What it took, 1 second in front of the burning bush, done what 40 years that his mama was trying to tell him, didn't do any good. She told him all his life he was the son of Pharaoh, wasn't the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, there's sometimes you'll pick it up, and Brother Brown will say he was 16 when he heard it. The others, he'll say that there he sat on his mama's knee, and she's bouncing him saying, you know. So it is regardless of what the time would be, he'd already heard the story. You know, the way they portray it in the movies is like he jumps onto it every once in a while, you know, and all. They're just trying to make a movie. We're talking about the Bible. All right, see the truth of it. All right. Now, God takes John to Patmos for one purpose, to show him the future. All right? Now, the book of Revelation, now, listen to the wording. It is not showing the past, even though that's involved, because you have to have an understanding of the past. And Brother Brown said that John used Old Testament types and things to express what he was talking about. So evidently, maybe God didn't show him exactly the way it's done. John chose a type. Like Paul then would come along and express the types, you know, by using the Old Testament things and the shadows of the writings. But let's see, that's 249 Church Age book. That John used Old Testament types. So he'd look at something, he'd see it. He would try to bring it down. And he'd say, well, how do I get this to the people? Well, then he'd realize Moses at the burning bush or something, see? Then he'd start bringing it down and writing it down, because God dealing with a prophet is not like dealing with you and me. That's why Naaman would see, say, chariots jostling in the streets. He didn't know how to say Buicks and Oldsmobiles running down the highway with the lights on, running into each other. So he said chariots jostling in the streets, running like lightning. He described it as he saw it, but in a symbolic. All right. But then when John now, get to the point we were talking about this morning, we'll move on. John is taken to Patmos to show the future. He is going to be shown from where he was all the way to the past the millennium, the future home, all into eternity. John is shown that in the book of Revelations. All right. It's shown in there the devil and his ways, and that's the reason he don't like it. The prophet said he hates Genesis and he hates Revelation. Alright? He don't like the fact of being exposed, to be shown what's going on. He doesn't like that away. Alright? See? Now, then Brother Branham says, page 74, Christ the Mystery, we gave you this morning, he said that the bride is part of the mystery, and must be revealed, part of the threefold mystery. Because there was a threefold mystery given, see, all God in Christ, all Christ in the church, take her back to the garden, all right? A threefold revelation. Then if there's a threefold revelation, then each one has got to be revealed. You don't just reveal the first fold. I mean, that's what people are trying to do now, is to reveal the first fold. Well, that's fine if you do it correctly. But if you don't get that correct, you surely can't see the second fold. Amen. So once you get the first fold in the correct order of the one true and living God, then you can see that John on Patmos is writing about the church. Not to the church. He's part of the body of Christ. He's writing about his own life, his own experience. As I said, Brother Run said he saw his name. You going over there to the Revelation 22, you'll find it, the stones, and 21 and all, you'll find the names of the apostles. Not written out, but it tells you that the names of the apostles is in the stone. Right? So then John did see his name. Right? Because he was given the revelation, and he represented in 4:1 the rapture of the going up. Well, why can't you see him represented in 1:1? The revelation that God gave to Jesus to give to John. See? If the revelation that God gave to Jesus about himself that he didn't previously understand, as we read this morning, then he, at this time of on Patmos, he understands. Now who's he giving? He gave to John. He gave it to John to give to the church. See? Alright. Now he didn't give it to, well, watch my point now, he didn't give it to an angel. He sent his angel, right, wonderful. But he gave it to a person. He gave it to a person to be able to come down, but that person would have to be, in this situation, not like any of the Old Testament. Now I'm talking about the prophets and things. Because the Old Testament prophets didn't have the new birth. All right? They had the anointing of the Spirit of God, but didn't have the new birth. John has the new birth. All right? See, then John is seeing his own experience, living his own experience. Think about a prophet like Brother Branham that could go back into God's mind and come out of there and see the things that he saw. Well, what about John now, representing all of us? So the revelation is coming where? See, the revelation that God gave Jesus to give to the bride, we'll say. Give to the bride. See, now is the time to understand. See, you say, well, no, but the Bible doesn't say give it to the bride. It said give it to John. See, now's the time to understand. Now's the time to get away from the silliness of you got to say exactly. That's what I said, exactly what the prophet said. If you say it was just given to John, then you missed the revelation. Come on, did you catch it? If you just say it was given to John, you missed the revelation. Because you ain't John. But see, when it was given to John and him representing the bride, then it's given to us. But it's about us. The book of Revelation is writing about the bride. All right? It's not writing about even one God, as we'll say. Even though that's there, as I said this morning. But it's written about the church. And it's sent to the church. This is our book. The book of Revelation is the bride's book. And it's the only book, Brother Branham said, where Jesus himself personally appearing to a scribe. Because you want to make sure it's right. This is the love letter to the church. This is my book. If there's any book in the Bible I like the book of Revelation. Well, I never could understand it because it says this. That's why you didn't have the right understanding. It wasn't the time to understand. But now's the time to all things. A time to understand that this Bible is speaking about you and me. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ, right? What? In his future work in the church. It's not just dealing with something to worry. You're just talking about, well, it's this, and we got the symbols and all that. No, the time is at hand. Right. Go to Revelation 22 while we're at it. While we're at it, we'll just pick this scripture up. 22 and verse 10. Because you'll see this is totally the finish. And then look what he says. Everybody wants to deal with verse 9 to try to figure out who that feller was. Verse 8 and 9. Who that feller was that come to John. That was Brother Branham. Well, if it was, fine, amen, that's all right. But where would that put us in any rapture? Verse 10 is the one I want to deal with. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings. And listen. It's sealed back over here, then it comes open in the book. But then he gets to here and he said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. What's the time at hand for? It's the time to understand. Don't seal it up now because it's time to understand. But see, they're still arguing over whether the book was open or whether it's closed. But see, this is the time for it to be revealed. And then when you're being revealed, see, Where in any time was there a time for the revelation of the entire book to be revealed outside of this day? Now you know what I'm talking about from the time Brother Branham, he's the one that brought it. But you and I are still in that part of it being revealed. Brother George was sitting there, Brother Thomas back there was sitting there, Brother Gary was back there. But that don't mean it was revealed to you because you're sitting there. Right? Just because you even heard it preached in person. That didn't make it revealed. Made a wonderful opportunity. Great. But it didn't make it revealed. Why? Because the time wasn't right. The time wasn't right. Look what your prophet said now, and what just the quotes I gave you. See, this is the time. Each day. It's page 16 of the Church Age book. You will recall that I mentioned at the beginning of this message that this book we are studying is the actual revelation of Jesus himself in the church and his works in the future ages. And it goes on to express how that we must have the Holy Spirit. Not just reading the book. It takes a special class of people. Ones with prophetic insight. You say, well, wait a minute, and Brother Dale, Brother Branham was the only prophet. I agree with you, an only prophet. He was the only prophet that would have been outside of the fivefold ministry as a prophet messenger. But there are prophets in the fivefold ministry. Alright? We got to deal with that. But every born again believer is prophetic. Because 464, seal book, he says the Holy Ghost came himself in the person of the baptism. No messenger to the age, because the prophet came himself. So this is a whole age is prophetic. You ride down the highway and you look around and all, and what do you see over the doors of carports and things? Eagles. Right? Eagles sitting here and eagles there. Eagles on everything. Why? Because it's a prophetic age. The eagle symbolic of Jehovah God, see? Alright. So then what's he saying that? It's a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit, he went on to say, or you'll miss it. But see, here's the time now. See, come on down now. This is reading right on down. The time is at hand. The time was not at hand previously. Now listen to it. This is page 16, Church Age book. The time is at hand. The time was not at hand previously. In the wisdom and economy of God, this mighty revelation, though fully known to God, could not come forth hitherto. Thus we immediately learn a principle. The revelation of God for each age can come in that age only. And at a specific time. Look at the history of Israel. The revelation of God to Moses came only at a specific time of history. Now that's where everybody wants to stop. What caused that to come to Moses? What caused God to come to Moses? Everybody wants to stop in that point. Listen. Let's reread. The revelation of God come to Moses only at a specific time of history, and even more specifically, now if I know anything at all about English, that means something greater than specific. When you're going specifically, right, it came as the people cried unto God. Now what brought Moses to deliver the children of Israel? Well, God just decided to send him. No, he might have had to go down there and get on them taskmasters and make them beat the daylights out of the people to get them to the place that they'd start crying out for deliverance. He allowed a lot of things to happen. But what caused God to send Moses to? Well, he just sent him because he'd keep his promise. Well, that's fine. Because he did promise it. But the children of Israel was crying out. So listen. And even more specifically, it came as the people cried unto God. Jesus himself came as the fullness of at the fullness of time, he being the complete revelation of the Godhead. And in this age, Lady of Sin, the revelation of God will come in its due time. It will not falter, neither will it be mature, premature. Think on this and heed it well, for we are in the end time today. Go on down with the other, then we'll get it out. This is Revelation chapter 1, which is the book. Revelation chapter 1, preached 1960, 1204 in the AM. Paragraph 153. The nature of the book shows that John did not write it. That's right. For they are for other. They're his writings, but not his inspiration. It's God's inspiration that writes the book. Alright, let's see what it says now. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, time is at hand. What? When the complete revelation of Jesus Christ has been made known to His churches, and as the ages go by, it's just revealed to them. So what is the time at hand? When the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. So no age down through time could have said the time is at hand. Sure, Luther could say the time is at hand for justification. Wesley could say the time is at hand for sanctification. The Pentecostals of Azusa Street could say the time is at hand for the baptism to be poured out, but not the time to be revealed. Not the time to be understood. This is the time. This is the time for it to be understood now. All right. And see, like I said now, you say, well we heard the prophet say it. Amen. But has God revealed it to you? If He didn't, you're just reading a book. Listening to a tape. Thank God for that. But it's got to be revealed. The brother makes the statement, God said it and that believe, I believe it and that's it. Here's mine. God said it, I believe it, that's it. But I want it revealed. Because that's the only way that it'll be part of me. It's what I'm dealing about, John. John was part of the revelation. That's how he could see himself. That's how he could understand. That's how he could get on over there later and begin to cry and weep for someone to come to take the book. Even though he had the new birth, he was at the faith of the fathers, had a new birth for about 60 years. But yet when he sees these things, he's crying out. Looked like he don't even have nothing, but that's not what it is. He's crying out because somebody's got to reveal that. And that's what happened in the end time when God sent a prophet, was to reveal the revelation. And he come down. Now, you just have to go back many years in the seals with me to 82 and all like that. You that have heard him. But when he comes down, when Brother Brown comes, I invite you to go read the seventh seal. When he comes down to the seventh seal, he said, I'll speak to you of a foal of it. And that's what he said. Everybody said, Brother Brown explained the whole thing on that. No, he said, I'll speak to you of a foal of it. But then the other side says, well, things Brother Branham said there, we don't know what they are, so we're having to wait on certain brother to come on scene and tell us what they are. That goes just as much one way as it goes the other. We're waiting on Brother Branham to come back and tell us what it was. See? All right? But you see, church, I'm telling you, I believe it this way. Thank God for the revealed word. You read that seventh seal and you'll see that he spoke to you of a foal of it. He said it's those seven thunders. What is the seven thunders? The voice of God. What is the voice of God? The revealed word of God. And on that seventh seal night, he spoke exactly of the Lord Jesus Christ, putting him in perfect form of Almighty God. Not a second person or a third person or any of these River Jordan doctrines they've got now. No, he showed him as the one true and living God. Huh? But then he said, I can't say anymore. He waits a little while. A few months transpires. He preaches a message called Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. And on that he says the seventh seal is in a threefold revelation, just like he said it on the first night of the seventh seal. Then he tells you that all God was, first fold, poured into the Christ, all Christ was poured into the church and take her back to the Garden of Eden. He shows you what the threefold revelation is. All right? So then what is the second fold of the threefold revelation? You are. The second fold can't be any different from the first fold. So the second fold would be God in you. Whereas the first fold, God was in Christ, the man walking on the earth, the revelation of one God. Now he's in a member, many-membered body called the bride. See, now's the time to understand. Now's the time for you and I to see it the way that it's supposed to be. to bringing it to the place that we can see who we are. The time to understand. The time for it to be revealed. What else could I say on that to get you to understand the point I want you to see? Now's the time. If it was the time in 70, and thank God for what was revealed back there. See? All right? I got a little something on 77 I want to talk on one of these days, and I get time. But if we would believe 77, yeah, amen. Thank God for what was revealed. But what about 2007? How much more has been revealed to the bride? Now, not adding to Brother Brown's message, no, garbage can, get away from it. Not added revelation, not new things. It's to reveal what the prophet has said. All right? Then revealing that, but it's come in stages to you and I over a long period of time. You read, you read, you read, and all at once you read something and it's to unfold, right? Why? Because it's the time. It's the time. See? See, you go out here today and you got, you know, a time for everything. That's what Ecclesiastes was saying. In other words, paraphrasing it now, there's a time to go to church. There's a time to, do we stay at home? Because we don't go to church that day. There's a time to do this. There's a time to do that. Alright? And see, then when it does, there comes a time to reveal. Reveal those things that have previously been spoken unto us until we see the truth of the Bible. Then the book of Revelation, see, then, is the revelation of the bride. You say, well, it shows the tribulation. It shows we don't have to go through it. Right? So it's to the bride. We go up, we get to it one of these days in 4:1. We're not seeing the 1921. But the rest of it is just as invaluable to us because it shows who we are, but it shows who we are now. The book of Revelation would be exactly like that you could take. Now, this is what I'm trying to get you to see. So if you miss the whole message, get this. To me, the book of Revelation is just exactly like a scribe. You know, like a person, a recorder. Of course, we don't use that today because we just push a button on a recorder and, you know, and it just tapes everything and all like that. But in the old days, you didn't have that. So what'd you have? You had a scribe, a writer. All right? The writer would follow things around and do and keep up with it, and they still do that to a degree today, you know. All right? But what are they doing? They're writing it down. How many of you have ever read The Prince of the House of David? So you know in that, now it may not be, I'm just honest, Brother Branham mentions it, but it may not be a total authentic writing. You know what I'm saying? That was written back there when it was taking place. I'm not concerned about that, but it is a real interesting book to read. I would invite any of you to read it. If you don't have it, make sure to let me know later. I've got a couple of copies of it. To where Brother Boyd said he has some. You need to read it. Because what the girl is doing is writing back to her family from Jerusalem. And she's there in Jerusalem. You know, she's writing back to her family. And she's writing a day-by-day account of things that's taking place. The meetings they would go to. And Jesus would heal somebody. Or she'd see John, you know. And it's real good. I've never found anything wrong with it. I've read it, I guess, a couple of times all the way through, but I've never found anything wrong with it because it's explaining a day-by-day account. It's just like how many of you ever seen the movie, the Book of Acts and the Book of Luke. They've got movies made now, especially the one of the Book of Acts. It's just, you got a man playing the part of Luke and he's writing, you know. But then when he writes a scene, they just show the scene. He writes about what he saw when the Lord Jesus was here, and what was this, that, and the other, and it just shows it in the book of Luke. Then, you know, Luke, then he writes the book of Acts. Alright. It's very interesting. I love to do that because it makes it more real. Like we talk about, a picture is better than 1,000 words. See, because it's something that you can see. And I enjoy looking at those things. It doesn't bother me because I'm not worried about getting deceived. If you're worried about getting deceived, you already are. Could I put that any plainer? If you're worried about getting deceived, you're already deceived. All right. Because we've got the message today to keep us from being deceived. We've got something to check it with. All right. But see, in doing that, now listen. A scribe would be a writer, a person that would be recording. You know, this happened. This happened. Now, a lot of people write what you call a diary. You know, and you keep up with things. Well, a diary generally gets you in trouble. Right? Because somebody's going to read that one of these days. And they're going to find out what you've done that you thought nobody didn't know about you doing it. You know, and I'm not against it. I'm just saying and trying to illustrate. Because, see, to me, that's what John was told to do about the bride of Christ. He was told to write what she would be in the future ages. He was told to put it down into ink. So he wrote chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. He writes down what he sees is going to be. Wouldn't that be something? No wonder it took him a couple of years to write it. I don't think he sat down all at once and just wrote the whole thing. No, it would be like the book of Daniel. It's always been amazing to me to read the book of Daniel. A lot of people read the book of Daniel and they read one vision. They read another vision. They read another vision. They read another vision. And they think, man, he's had a lot of visions. But you know what he had? A vision of one thing. Many stages of it. Many things was revealed to him. But it was all one vision when it was finished. And I could get to that and preach on it a while. That'd be the vision of the bride too. But listen. The scribe would write down what would take place. John saw it and wrote down what would take place. He said, write this. And like I said, each church age then, sure, each one of them has a rebuke because of getting away from the Word, etc. But every one of them has that, what is the word, the end of the, an admonition or a thing to be said about the good of each church age. You have a name that you're living, but you're dead. But then you'll hear it. You said, some of them kept my name. See, it's written to where it would be sent to the church. What about a man that could write something down before it took place? Like I've always told you about the time I read that story about it. You know, I can't help it when I read and I can remember a little bit, but I can't remember the whole details. But I remember reading the story about the guy, you know, that got the newspaper a day ahead. Fictional story. He got a newspaper a day ahead. Well, man, he's doing great. He knowed what was going to, who was going to win the horse race, so he'd go bet. He knew what he was going to do. He could tell everybody the answer before he ever even come up. The only one problem, he read one day in the newspaper that he died the day before. So that foul you up, wouldn't it? All right. But John didn't read. John never read that he died. John never read anything about his end. His end was in glory. He saw himself all the way to the future home. He saw his name written in a stone. Why can't we as the bride of Christ see that away? And then, now let's back up a couple of services, and then say what God says about us. Now, is that what's been a couple of services lately? What God said about us. Not what I say about you, or you say about me, or I say about myself. But what God says. He's over there with David, and David's in the bed of adultery with Bathsheba. He's doing everything in the world. He's having his best friend killed. And God looks down and said, he's the apple of my eye. You mean God's got bad apple eyes? You know, no. He just didn't see what was being done. I said this morning, he didn't see when they showed the back part, the Balaam was showing the back. When he started to curse them people, he just opened his mouth and boy, he was going to let them have it. And when he did, there couldn't nothing flow out but beautiful words. He said, I can't say nothing. Went back to Balak. Balak got mad at him, you know, fussing him out about it. He said, I can't say nothing but what God says. No matter if he even tried to, he couldn't do it. How can I curse what God has blessed, he said. Why can't we get to the place to say what the Bible says about us? Those who he justified, he's already glorified. Why can't we say that? Why can't we start saying what God says instead of what we see? Well, I just don't see nobody. I remember a man in this message, I called his name, a lot of you know him, but he said, oh, you ain't got nothing, I ain't got nothing either. Say, none of us got nothing, we just playing along. I wanted to tell him, say, hold it just a minute. I might not have what I want, but I sure ain't what I used to be. You remember that? I'm sure not what I used to be. I've come from somewhere. But I'm coming to realize we got to say what God says about us. He says I'm perfect. And I'm glad he's not looking at me to determine that. Because if he was looking to me to try to determine if I was perfect, he'd be a failure. Because he couldn't see how perfect, you know, he couldn't see nothing perfect in me. But when he's looking at his own sacrifice, when he's looking at the blood and just hearing my voice through the blood, then he looks down and says, you're perfect. But see, we as human beings can never claim perfection. But when we say what he says. What is then, as we read this morning, what is Satan's works and ways? The discrediting of God's word. Trying to get the people to not believe what God has said. Now listen, church. I don't know how to preach. I can't. I'll just say what I believe. And say, right. But listen, this book shows somebody that goes all the way to be in the future home. Right? Because it's written about somebody. Well, why can't we believe that it's written about us? We say, oh, Doubting Thomas. Boy, he wasn't no good. He was a doubter. Well, like Brother Dick was talking the other day, we were talking about it. You know, the rest of them didn't believe Jesus was raised either until they saw the nail prints. They just didn't say, I got to put my hands there. But when they saw him standing there, but yeah, we call him the Doubting Thomas. There's one thing about it. He put his hands in there. And then after he did, it's never written of him anymore about being a doubter. He said, my Lord and my God. He saw what he needed to see. Listen, church, when we see the Bible correctly, we'll see that it's talking about somebody. Why can't we proclaim that we're that person? It's very easy to read the newspaper and find out what's going on. You know, the newspaper makes us look bad. You know, the newspaper tells us how much the economy's in bad shape, how much the weather's bad, how much of this is bad, how much of that bad. And we're all talking about how bad it is. Right? Why? Because we read it out of the newspaper. Well, why can't we read the Bible just in plain language? Just plainly read the Bible and see that it's talking about us. It's easy to read it that it's talking about somebody else. That's what caught me when I first read this message. Because I always wanted to see the God of the Word. And I could read, as Brother Tom says, about them old war stories. You know, in other words, the Old Testament, the battles and all the things happening. And I could read about that and say, boy, wouldn't it be something to see God like that again? And I could read of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see the life of Jesus Christ and say, wouldn't it be something to live back there? You know, I could read about the book of Acts and the Holy Ghost with the people, and then read the writings of Peter, James, and John, and those, you know, and think, well, wouldn't it be something to do that? Then I heard a prophet say one day, if I had the opportunity to be anywhere, he said, I'd want to be here. What about an opportunity you would have today to be able to back up in time to any position that you could find? To walk with the Lord Jesus. To walk with Brother Branham and hunt and fish with him and everything. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? It'd be a great, glorious thing. Great opportunity. But what about a group of people that can walk in the Word that has been brought unto us? Not just talk about it, but to walk in it by revelation and to see ourselves. To see what God has said about us written in His Word. Well, turn back over. Let's see if we can pick up something. Maybe for just a few minutes. Because we got communion, foot washing, and then we're going on for the baptism. So, turn back to Revelation 1. Now, it's blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear. Now listen, the prophet said it like this one day. He said it's a blessing just to be able to read. You know, there's a lot of people in the world can't read naturally. I told you about it years ago, that how Zachary, he didn't want to go to school. He thought they was really messing him up. He was mad at his mama and his grandmama because they wanted him to go to school. And he didn't want to go to school. I guess he's already smart enough, he figured. But, you know, I mean, he got upset, highly upset. He even told his daddy, said, next time we go on vacation, you should leave mama at home. Because he was upset. He was upset at his nanny because she was with him having to go over there, you know, going to school and that. So they said, well, Papa, you better have a talk with him. Like I said this morning, you know, each kid, each grandkid's got a certain way. So I sat down and I talked to him. I said, Zachary, you don't want to go to school? No, you don't want to go. I said, you realize, Zachary, when we're sitting around at certain times right before Christmas, and we start talking about getting Zachary a CAT for Christmas. I said, you don't know what that is, do you? No. I said, and you wouldn't know what you're getting for Christmas, would you? No. I said, but if you learn to read, you learn to write, and they spell any of them words, and you understand what they're talking about. The little fella's eyes went. And he's done good ever since then. Why? He went to school the next day just happy. Why? Because it was something about that made him hit that channel to understand. See? So it's a blessing to be able to read. But what about to be able to read God's Word? You know, there's a lot of people in the world today that do not have Bibles. They don't have Bibles. We can't even comprehend that, do we? And we just got them and throw them every which way, and just in the cars, in the trucks, in the this, and we don't have that. We can hook up a little thing and put an iPod in their pocket and just listen to the Bible, and, you know, we can put it in a video and turn it on and just all kind of things. We don't even realize that there's people in this world that there's no way in the world they'll ever be able to afford to read a Bible. Over there in the Philippines when I was there, little brother, he said, I gave him a DVD or an MP3 one. And it was just, you know, something to me. I was just giving them to him about Brother Branham and the home videos, all kind of things, and, you know, different things. And little brother, he said, now I don't have to go over to Brother Danny del Mundo. That's where he went to church. He said, I don't have to go to Brother Danny's and borrow his CD or the MP3 or what it was again? You don't have to go borrow it. I said, well, that's good. Okay. I could give you one. He said, yeah. But said, now if I just had something to play it on. He said, if I just had something to play it on. I said, you mean you don't even have a player? He said, I don't even have the CD, let alone the player. Well, you know where we went. And I don't know how many of them we bought. I don't know how many of them we took over and how many of them we give them away and went down to town and bought for them. Bought them CD player, bought them even DVD players. You know. Why? Because they didn't even have it. What about a blessing to have? But what about a blessing to be able to read God's Word? What about a blessing to be able to hear the voice of God that would speak to us in the end time from the prophet's message? What a blessing that is when you think about a lot of people around the country that can't even read or hear or anything. How blessed is it to hear? Well, what about to realize that where we're at in the end time and that the Bible is speaking about us? Now, I want to just read. So let's read now in Revelation 1. We'll go to verse 4. We'll try to get down just a little bit and we'll quit. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now, there's not seven spirits of God. It's God in seven manifestations. God is not seven spirits of him sitting up there. It's one spirit, but he's in manifestation down through. We know the story, all right? And from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now watch. It's easy to understand that he's the prince of the kings of the earth. But now who's the kings of the earth? And hath made us, verse 6, kings and priests unto God. And his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He hath made us priests and kings. Like I've always said in the natural. What if in the natural, if all of the children of Israel were like David? One man just whoop a whole army like Samson or something. What would it be if you had a whole army full of them? I mean, you wouldn't have to worry about the enemy. It's when the children of Israel went into crossed over Jordan and went through into the land of Canaan, they got where they had peace from their enemies. Why? Because everybody was afraid of their God. And they knew that their God could take any one of their weakest soldiers that they had, and that he could defeat 1,000 of them. And they knew also that God could reveal to them, remember about it? When the king says, who's telling the secrets about where we're supposed to be going? I believe it was Elijah, wasn't it? He said, God shows either Elijah or Elisha, said, God shows him in his bedchamber. What you going to do, king? Wouldn't you be afraid of that? What if you had an army like David? But listen, church, that's what God has got in the bride. He's got an army of Jesus Christ. He's got a group of people that the least one of you or any of us, that's why I count myself the smallest, and the smallest of all is a conqueror, for the devil has no hopes whatsoever defeating a child of God. Show me in the Bible one defeat of a person in God. I challenged that many years ago and got all kind of answers. And I told Esther, I'll give you one that's probably the worst I could think of. And I was talking about Saul and how bad he was. All kind of things that he done, even tried to kill David and all kind of things. But Saul wasn't defeated. Saul even fell on his own sword and took his own life, but he wasn't defeated. Why? Because he had called up through the witch of Endor the spirit of Samuel, and Samuel said, "You'll be with me tomorrow." The worst case that could be thought of in any form, what is that big word, Brother Gary, the scenario, you know, everything, the worst you could get of Saul. But there he was in glory with Samuel. Not a defeat in the Bible. The weakest, the prophet said, Christian goes to his knees, he said, Satan starts trembling. He's scared. Danny, for you to believe his word. Because he knows if you can believe it, he's defeated. Even like I was saying this morning, what about the fact that he don't even have to be judged? Every human being in the world will have to go to the white throne judgment, but there's no record that Satan goes there. He don't even get a chance to be judged, because he's already judged himself wrong. It's totally finished. He goes to the lake of fire. But listen, church, the Bible shows you and me as priests and kings. What kind of a kingdom would you have if you had everybody in the kingdom? See, the way we have it, you know, or even back in the old times, you'd have one king and all the rest of them were subjects. And that's why that God didn't want a king over Israel. Because it, go back and read it and get your prophet. They knew, Samuel knew, that if they got a king, they'd start bowing before that king. They'd start honoring that king, and he would send them to war, and he would do this. They didn't need a king. Why? Because every one of them was kings and priests if they'd have realized it. Because that's what he says about them over in Exodus 19. He'd already called them priests and kings. Exodus 19, I believe it is, where they chose law. But God told them, said, "You're a royal priesthood." God's always spoke of his people as being his children and a royal priesthood. What about a kingdom, though, where, like I said, you got one king, the rest of them are subject? What about a kingdom where everybody's a king? Everybody's a prince. And all the sisters are queens. I like what the brother said here a while back. Somebody said, you know, the only animal in the whole jungle that's not afraid of the lion when it roars? You know what it is? There ain't but one animal in the jungle that's not afraid when the lion roars. That's the female lion. She's not afraid. She's not afraid of him. That's her husband. That's her lover. She's not afraid of him. She enjoys hearing him roar. But every other animal, even elephants and things, run from him. But listen, church. The Bible shows you and I as priests and kings. Now we get back over to Revelation 5, it shows it again. Shows us already in a priesthood. A kingdom of priests. Who offer sacrifices. The Bible says, present yourself a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A kingdom of kings and priests. The wonderful opportunity to say what God says about us. The wonderful thing to be able to say, that's me he's talking about. It's even wonderful to read it and say, that's somebody else is talking about. I mean, that's great for me to read it and say, you know, that's Danny Fountain. You know, that's Danny right there. That's great. That's good. But what about when I can read it and say, that's me? And it becomes personal. See, because that's what a revelation does to you. That's what a revelation does. It shows who we are. Now, you know where we're going to when we get over there. Because you look at these kings and these priests and things. They're not in capital letter. God's got even more for us, because in Revelation 19, He's King of kings and Lord of lords. There's no separation from Him and us when it comes to that situation. Because that's showing who we are. Amen. You see what I'm talking about? A time to understand. Come on, Brother Dick. A time to understand. There was a time that we was to understand partial realization and do the best we could do. Yeah. There was a time for that. And God enjoyed that, like I said this morning, talking about it. He was pleased to dwell in Luther's justification. Right. Everybody wants to say, oh, he's just Alpha and Omega. Said, he's in the beginning, he's in the end. That's the story of the prophet. But then he said he's all the way through. Then you read your Bible. And where does the Bible say he's at? Now your Bible says, and we're going over our next service maybe, said he's in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. So then if you look at your church ages and you take that literally of what it's saying, these church ages in the middle, he would be more present with them than he would be with us, because that's what your Bible says. It says he's in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. But see, people say, oh no, he wasn't through there. Why not? Like my wife always says about it, it wasn't the Holy Ghost that was eaten down in the church ages, it was the Word. The Word was what was eaten down in the ages, not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is never church age. Come on, brothers. Think on these things. Let's just sing a verse and then we're going into the communion. And 101 in the spiral. Let's stand together and then we'll just go right on into the communion and foot washing. Wonder. About him. Anybody have a need before we go into the communion? Saving the death of Christ, my God, all the vain things that charm me most. I sacrifice them to His blood. Do you? From His head. Anybody have a need? Think about what He's done for us. The whole rim of nature that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine. He mends my soul, my life. Sing that first verse over again now as we get ready. What is it? When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory die. My richest gain I count but lost, and for content on all my pride. Amen and amen. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's just have a few moments of silent prayer, praying for one another and getting our hearts right to going into the communion of the Lord. Make us all worthy of your love in Jesus' name. The Bible said he took the bread and blessed it. Father, we thank you for this bread. It's been made for the purpose today of taking this and to see the symbols and the things to be made manifest. We know it is not your body. It only represents the body. It represents thy word. That we'll each one partake of this bread, a little portion. And then we take the wine, and Lord, we drink it. It's only in symbols, but tomorrow this will make blood cells in our body, because we know that it is something tangible. But Lord, we thank you most of all for what's in our hearts, the love of Almighty God, and the light that we would like to be seen around the world of each every one of us. Bless the food and bless the partakers as we all become one in you, in Jesus' name. The reason we break the bread is because that the Lord Jesus was broken for each and every one of us. So we break this in commemoration of that part. Father, we thank you for this wine. It's went through the process of aging and gets better each day. It's a type of an example of thy blood that was shed for each and every one of us. And Father, as we drink the wine, we thank you for the stimulation of revelation that you've given into each one of our hearts, the quickening of thy word. Lord, we thank you. We ask you to sanctify the wine and the partakers in Jesus' name. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest 'neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the pit. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected. And I question, oh Father, how long? Then I take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. You know, as we always think about the communion, we always think of the last thing that happened when the children of Israel were getting ready to leave out of Egypt. They had the Passover, the meal. They got together. They had the lamb. And if it was not enough to be able to eat, you know, one day we'd get together with their neighbors and things to worry, because it was supposed to all be eaten. Because whatever was left had to be burned before the next morning. So there was no need of being wasteful, so they'd get the neighbors together and things, you know, do the best they could, because that would be the nice thing to do. You see, that's what we do. Then we take the communion, we go and we, you know, we'll burn the bread before the morning, because we're not saying that we're trying to hold over. We believe in a new word forever age, not a new message now, not a new prophet and things, but a new word, as I was trying to say a while ago, to be revealed to us. Something to be revealed each day. See, that's what this speaks of. But we'll go home and we'll burn the bread tonight and, you know, get everything, because we don't believe in just standing with the same word day by day. We move on. No. Let's come on, brother, then whatever. Man, we got four. You got four. That's all we need. Right. We run low on. See, you do get a new revelation every day. We had to write them out. We had to write them out. We just needed an understanding of the right amount. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we needed to be quickened unto us what we had. That we had enough anyway. Amen. Let's all partake together. You can be seated for a moment if you'd like to. Collecting all of them. Turn in your scripture if you want to in John the 13th chapter. And we'll read this before we get into the foot washing. Verse 2 said, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Let's stand together. We'll pray, and then the sisters will go downstairs. remember Brother Harris, Lord willing, will be preaching Wednesday, so be much in prayer, and then praying one for another. Father, we thank you. We love you. We cherish your presence. Father, thank you for an opportunity this day to be able to take the communion, to have the foot wash and the things, and the most of all to hear thy word. And I pray that what has been said would be needful to be said. And I'm sorry when it's not, because it would be my problem of trying some way to figure out something to say instead of maybe depending upon you. So just have your way, Lord. Forgive us and guide each and every one. Take care of the people on the way home. Give a safe journey. May we all be manifesting what you want us to be in this life. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.